Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 3, the 63 episode. I don't know, podcast 63 episode? I'm not really sure what to call it yet, but we got a whole episode to figure that out. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking about our exhibition matchup and what went well, what we liked, and even more so than just talking about how we won by 60 points. We'll kind of get into it a little bit. We have some fun Loyola just kind of notes, some pop culture things to talk about, and then we'll end with our matchup preview with FAU and a little bit of a dive into our non-con schedule and just kind of our predictions for it. So it's kind of a few things to go on here, but Lou, I'm curious what you've been up to and what you're excited to talk about this week.
Yeah, I think what I've been up to is just waiting and confused that our first game is not at Genteel, but hey, get excited to just be playing basketball again back in November. So I think the biggest thing really is I think the exhibition just left so many questions, but also smiles, and we'll see what's going on because, again, Rambler basketball is here, and the 2023-2024 season is kicking off here in a few days.
Yeah, as we're recording this, basketball starts tomorrow, so it's super, super exciting. Got some day games, too, I actually saw, so that's super fun. I love when they do that. Got something to watch. Our Loyola women's team starts tomorrow, too, so got some good vibes here, and we're going to keep that up on the rest of the episode. So stick with us, and always remember, never forget, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Ralph gets it, scores. It's over. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So yeah, we have a couple fun notes, I guess, to start off on. I saw, and along with like all the other Rambler fans probably, and all the players I know on the men's team, that Drake, famous actor / musician, was wearing a Loyola Chicago crew neck sweatshirt out at a club or something, at some sort of event. I don't even know where he got it, because someone posted like that the Loyola store doesn't even sell that, at least like that design. And I really think that, and I think our marketing people are pretty smart, but someone's got to get on that and like Photoshop, like you could do like the hoodie he had on, the sweatshirt he had on, but then Photoshop like a picture of him wearing the Loyola crew neck on the crew neck. Like, I think that would definitely do some numbers. So, Loyola marketing, you can have that one for free. Like, just make sure to credit Podcast 63.
Just pro bono for this one.
Yeah, we don't need money, but we do need marketing. So please put Podcast 63 on the back. It's all yours. No, but I just think it's cool. It's weird. Like, I don't even know he like knew like Loyola Chicago. I don't know. It's just like one of those things where you're like, what the heck? Like, how does this person, why is he even wearing a Loyola Chicago crew neck? Like, who does he know? Like, what are we just that, like, that school now that, like, people just wear it just because? I don't know. Take it away. Like, what'd you think? I thought it was kind of funny and cool.
Well, the crazy thing was, I was like, I remember the last time I saw Drake do something related close to Loyola basketball was when he visited Drake University. Mm-hmm. And that was made up an uproar. But no, again, our leader Drew, Coach Drew, loves Drake, and if you don't know that, you gotta follow Drew on social media and you'll understand his love for Drake. But so I thought that was really cool. But no, I did not think about, do we even sell that hoodie? I think I was one of many that just was like, oh my god, this is really cool, a huge celebrity is wearing Loyola Chicago merch, but I'm going to hunt down to see if we actually sell this or not. But no, yeah, I think, again, what a way to hype up our name a few days going into the start of the season. I thought that was kind of a cool thought. But yeah, no, overall, I think it's really great to see. And maybe I really had the weird idea that would we be getting a Sister Jean and Drake collab anytime soon? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, but I definitely think we would need some the powers from above to work some magic. But yeah, no, definitely. I think I've seen so many stories of graduates with that exact same story, and I'm one included. So. So yeah,
I definitely think that on Drake's next album you're gonna see a Sister Jean feature. I mean, like that's a given. Like God's Plan,
a name drop would be good.
God's Plan Part Two,
that's true.
Featuring Sister Jean
Part Two, that's a good.
It literally writes itself. Like yeah.
Again, we're here for marketing. Anyone needs more good marketing, we're here. But
that one is not free. That idea, you do have to pay us for that one, Drake. You have enough money, you can pay us.
There we go.
You had some go ahead.
No, but yeah, not some other news that might not be as I don't know, celebrity worthy, but I think it's pretty cool. Again, some big things in athletics, men's and women's both. Again, cross country teams won the A-10 conference championship. So back to back for two teams. I'm at this point concerned that maybe the A-10 needs to either keep up the competition or we're just going to dominate and become a dynasty in cross country. I knew we had some good runners for sure, and I'm not friends, but I'm so cool to see we have pretty much a dynasty going on now. Mm-hmm. So I'll be keeping watch now for when it comes to nationals and stuff like that. And then what was it, Buck? Yeah, we were talking about the women's volleyball team. Women's volleyball team back on another tear of, I think right now they're at 14 games.
Yeah, 14.
Winning streak. And like, let's be blunt and understanding that like they had a pretty rough beginning of the non-con. They were pretty much a losing record before this streak. And I think now they're like 16-11. So yeah, really, really cool to see, especially they beat a ranked team this year. And again, we talked about it, Dayton, for those questioning, well, is Loyola going to win the women's volleyball conference again? They got some really tough competition with Dayton. Sadly, we've already played Dayton, and they lost both games. So I don't think right now Dayton will probably falter and lose one. Mm-hmm. But again, hey, hopefully we'll see them again when it comes to the conference tournament play. But yeah, both, again, we got the women's and men's cross country and the women's volleyball just on a tear. Really cool to see. Really, really cool. And then another thing on the Loyola side, Loyola women's had their own expedition right before the men's expedition. I don't know if I'm saying that right now, but I'm getting a little nervous because we had a member of Podcast 63 rooting against Loyola this past week.
You don't have to out me
and
like that.
It was obligated because it was his job to root against Loyola. But this is kind of what we didn't plan to talk about this, but one thing I wanted to talk about was tip our cap, little round of applause as you physically round of applause. My co-host here coached his first exhibition game, and it was against Loyola Chicago women's team and his Roosevelt women's team. So that was a little weird to see. I saw a few tweets. I don't know, Buck, if you saw it, but there were a few tweets of like, weird to see Podcast 63 on the opposing team bench.
No, I missed that.
And I was like,
I'll take it
back. Yeah, I'll have to send it to you. I was like, first off, there's two of us, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But I was in neutral colors, and then my co-host here, partner, threw a shirt on me to wear for Roosevelt, and that's only fair. I totally respect it. But yeah, that was another news of Loyola Athletics that was going on. I would like, Buck, quickly, what was your, for the listeners, what did it feel like to be a coach, not just a podcaster, but a coach for a team?
It was cool. I'm really glad that we got the opportunity actually to practice at Loyola the night before the game, too, which was really nice. They were really welcoming to all of us. But that was cool because, like, the first 10, 15 minutes, like, we're all kind of stretching out and, like, whatever, getting warmed up, and we're planning our practice and stuff like that. Like, it was weird. Like, I kind of was – it was kind of just, like, uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. Like, it was – because I'm wearing green. Like, I'm not wearing maroon and gold. So that – but after that 15, 20 minutes, it's like, oh, I've been here a million times. Like, I know where I'm at. I've been on the court. All that kind of stuff. Like, it just felt kind of back like home again. The game itself, it was pretty competitive for a while. It was a good game. Obviously, like, hat tip to the Ramblers. They played a great game. They were they stayed poised. We had some pretty good ball pressure, and they were able to stay poised through that. But the coaching staff is just awesome there. I've said it a million times on here, but they're just great people. They've been super, super helpful to me and starting my coaching journey. But it was a really cool thing. I just still kind of hasn't even hit me. Like, to have my first game coaching at Loyola is just, it's really, really cool. So I'm planning at some point in my career to be back at Loyola coaching, but just sitting at the other side of the bench on the home team side. So that's the goal one of these days, is to be able to come back and coach at Loyola. So super cool to get my start. And going up from here. And I don't know. I was really excited. I wasn't prepared for you to talk about it. So thank you for bringing it up, though. It was cool.
There we go. No, again, just it was really cool to see. Really weird at the same time, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It was really weird to be behind the opposing bench at Loyola rooting against Loyola. And again, I was like, just like Sister Jean, hoping no one got injured. Mm-hmm. But instead of Sister Jean's line saying, "We hope the Ramblers are victorious," I was like, I kind of would hope Roosevelt is. I was, for those questioning, how are you rooting? I was rooting for offense.
Mm, okay.
I was like, you know what? Offense. Let's root for offense.
Sure.
Which there was a little breakaway, and it was a lot of it. But no, a lot of fun to be there.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll keep people posted. I might jump in. Again, we know this is a Rambler podcast, but I might jump in and be like, hey, they got their first win and stuff like that. But no, I think that's everything on the news end. Again,
yeah.
We go from celebrity highs to athletics runs and then our own podcast news. But yeah, and then I think we'll just get right into it, right, Buck?
Mm-hmm.
We had our own men's basketball exhibition game, which right after the women's game.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I was there for a lot of basketball that day. And the men's played Trinity Christian College, who I had no clue what their mascot was.
Is it a troll?
And for those, it is an actual troll. And for those who don't know, we have some nice brand new billboards. Or sorry, not billboards, but a screen. We have a new screen, so... if I'm on the opposing end, right, if I'm on the opposing team's bench and I'm looking up to my right, right kind of in front of the Wolf mural, we have a new kind of board and everything, scoreboard to look at,
mm-hmm.
digital one. So that's really cool to have. But I saw their logo on there and nearly screamed. but it is a troll. It's a physical troll. This game really wasn't a troll, but Trinity Christian – I appreciate you coming out. It's an exhibition. I can't think of right now. I think I did look it up, but Trinity Christian, not anywhere I believe in the D divisions of
they are. Basketball. They're an NAIA school. They are in the same conference as Roosevelt. So the more you know.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. The more you know. There we go. That's why we're good to have a coach on the staff of Podcast 63 to answer these questions. But yeah. We'll just start off, right? Buck already kind of mentioned it. We did win by 60 points, 104-44. I don't think we really expected anything less at this type of competition. But again, it's funny enough, in years past, we did struggle a little bit with Roosevelt in the beginning when we played them, I remember.
Sure.
But again, that was a different roster that started. So we'll get into it now here. Starting off here, I think we'll talk about just what we saw from the potential starters. And I'll say potential because we don't know what might change come Wednesday, right? But I think Wednesday and then the Saturday game following and within even Tuesday against UIC, I think the first three games we'll understand maybe what the non-con starters will look like. But the starters for this game, a few no-brainers in my opinion. Phillip was starting. Braden. Those are, again, the two no-brainers, sorry, because three other guys are guys who are brand new to the team. So we had Greg Dolan started, and I was very intrigued by that, and we'll talk why in a minute. Dez Watson, again, not new to the conference, again, out of Davidson, but new to the team. And then we had the one I had the big question mark about, Mr. Miles Rubin, officially started the exhibition game. So, Buck, that was the starting five. Where was anything, and again, we say potential, but does anything, one, shock you? Are you intrigued by how this might go? I think this is where my focus in the beginning was, because I was trying to understand what Drew might be trying to, like, put up for rotation, at least.
Yeah, I think, honestly, the one that shocked me the most was Dez Watson. Yeah, absolutely. I think Miles started in part because, I mean, he's been getting some really good reviews and raving from people who've been watching practice and stuff. But I do think that Dame is still a little banged up. Like, I think he had a toe injury or something like that, foot injury. And those kind of things can be really sensitive and just like pain management type things. So maybe they just weren't sure what Dame's role is going to be right out of the gate. So they're like, hey, this is consistent. He's been the one. I'm sure Miles has gotten a lot of first team reps in practice. So they probably just were comfortable with that. So I honestly like not super shocked by Miles starting. But yeah, with Dez, I mean, I think that's really cool. I thought maybe like Schreiger was going to start because he did last year. Or one of either like Jalen Quinn or Jaden Dawson, again, just because like carry over from the year before. But I think that's really cool. I'm happy for Dez. I think he's going to be a great addition defensively and just athletically, like just to be able, I think that was one of the things we were kind of lacking last year too, is that like athletic wing defender. So to have that addition is going to be huge. That's how I felt. But yeah, if you had anything to add on to that, please go for it.
Yeah, Dez was definitely a surprise. Someone might be like, well, what about Greg? Greg wasn't really a surprise, and I'll get to that in the second half. But definitely intrigued to see Greg. Again, I could have thought maybe – I don't know how tough Jalen Quinn's been in practice, but maybe he could easily been battling Greg Dolan for the starting, I guess, two spot, right? Mm-hmm. But no, Dez was definitely a little bit of a shocker. And again, nothing against from his skills or anything, but just – I just was thinking of a different rotation. Definitely of the same feeling of maybe even Patrick or Dame. So very interesting there. But again, I think the one thing I'm not going to really critique is Dez did have a pretty bad day from shooting. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the exhibition, so I would imagine really trying things out. I think maybe just also trying to get the flow, so that's totally fine. I'm not really going to comment on that. But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me to flip maybe a different starter is the Greg spot. I think this will be a tremendous help mm-hmm. to one person and one person in particular, and that person's name is Braden Norris. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of times where Greg was bringing up the ball and Braden was able to flow and just cut and be a shooter. Now, again, skewed, but 7 assists from Greg and then 9 from Braden. That's a lot of assists, a lot of ball movement. I'm going to be intrigued how the next 3 games skew to this kind of average. But, yeah, that was, like, an exciting thing for me. I honestly was in my seat being like, oh, yes, we've talked about this. We've said, wouldn't it be nice if Jalen could bring up the ball and Braden can just, like, be the shoot, like, catch and shoot kind of thing, right? Like, come off a pick and come off a screen and just, like, pop, right? So those are things that are nice. Now, again, Braden definitely, again, look at 9 assists. He definitely still was able to lead with the ball. So, yeah, definitely I think that was probably my big surprise as, like, an exciting thing to look forward to, especially in these first 3 games. So, yeah, Greg, I think, brought in a different schema that I was expecting, and it's really something I look forward to, I'd have to say. But, yeah, no, I think really, again, no shocker. I'll quickly just go through the starters that really showed stuff that I expected. Phil, absolutely start off with an and one. That's how he started the game. That's how he also started the second half. So no surprise there at all. Braden, pretty good. Not many points, but again, they were really, again, 9 assists is nearly at a double-double from assist and points. Mm-hmm. So not too crazy or anything there. Biggest thing I think that we just haven't mentioned really his name from a stats part, Miles Rubin, 5 for 5 in field goal, only played 13 minutes. Now, again, the most someone played was 22 minutes. And again, that was Braden. I think honestly, just with our depth at that position where Miles is, whether it be Patrick, whether it be Dame or something like that, I think we don't need Miles right now in the early stages, and we'll see come Wednesday. But especially an exhibition game, no need for him to play. But 3 blocks, Buck, you and I saw firsthand how his blocks are when it came to the CPS league. I think we are going to be very excited to see his blocks come. But Yeah, Buck, I'll be honest. I mentioned it in the open practice. He grabbed some passes out of nowhere, and he was doing that a little bit. I think we will see some pick and roll with him going to the basket, again, depending on what the team we play puts up. But, yeah, Miles Rubin, I think he's an absolute fit that is exciting. He's almost, again, he's almost like a young, talented horse who just needs to be, like, get out there and train, like, just practice. And I think, for me, it's Miles just needs to get into an open game and just, like, be able to try things out. But also need to understand, like, hey, these games are not just, like, for fun. Like, these count. So, like, when things happen, we need to also learn. So, yeah, I think from the starters, that was really interesting. Again, from my site, right, Tom Welch did come in, and him and Patrick both made some play. Patrick, I'll be honest with you, he looks pretty comfortable from three. He was 3 of 6. That was something that I was like, do you need to shoot the three, or do you just feel comfortable? He seems to feel comfortable for sure. That was something. But, yeah, I think it was really fun to see Tom back out there and with Patrick. And then Jalen Quinn also got some hefty minutes for sure. But, yeah, anyone sticking out to you right now, or any kind of questions?
One of the things I was thinking in terms of just how deep we are, like, Tom and Patrick, I think, are going to be great coming off the bench. Or even if one of them starts, having one of them come off the bench. Because I just think they're similar players. Like, they're not really a five, but they're, like, a stretch four. They could play the five in a pinch sort of deal. I think Patrick probably has a little bit more defensive versatility. But I really liked, I like seeing Patrick move, like just his lateral quickness. I was really impressed with that. And for Tom, I think he bulked up even more. Like every year, I love those like side by side pictures of like freshman year, sophomore year, junior, senior, all that kind of stuff. I want to see that for Tom, because like when he came in as a freshman, like to what he is now, like that dude has changed his body, like, and put in the work.
You're absolutely right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He did seem very, very big in the chest.
Yeah, no, shoulders funny. Too. He's yeah. just like
he very yeah. That's sure. so true.
But I need someone needs to put one of those together. Like, I mean, we could do it. I'm sure too. But like, yeah, he came in, and I feel like one of our episodes, you're like, ooh, he could play the three, like, you know, oh, he moves, he's kind of fast, he's quick, like, he's got to bulk up, like, nah, he just went for it, like, he's a big dude, and I'm here for that. I think that'll pay dividends in the A-10 play, like, because we know that there's bigs, and they like to, they're athletic and strong, so, those two, I think, stood out for me. Nice to see Trey get some minutes. Don't really know what his role is going to be this year, if he does have one. Nice to see, I just like Sheldon. I've always liked Sheldon. So, glad to see him get some run. One of the dudes that I think is finding himself maybe on the outside, or, like, at least, like, not going to have the same role as last year is Ben. I think it's just a product of having a really deep roster, but I think we could see a version of Ben that's way more efficient, and hopefully he's like excited or sees the potential of coming in and playing 10 minutes and just giving, you know, 100%, right? All out, defend, you know, run the floor in transition. That kind of thing. And I think he could be more efficient and look like a better player than last year. And I can already see it, like 2 weeks into the season, or like 3 weeks into the season, he scores 12 points in 10 minutes and fans are like, why isn't he playing more? Why isn't he playing more? Like, that role on a team is a very valuable role. Someone who comes in for 10 to 15 minutes and is a trusted eighth or ninth guy off the bench. Like, I think that could be his role this year, and I think that could just be really helpful for his development as a player to see that he can do that. He can be that efficient player, because no knock on his game from last year, but when he was playing 30-plus minutes, he wasn't the most efficient player. So, I don't know. That's just one thing that stood out to me, and I think that just because we're such a deep team. We go on and on about all these names because everyone played minutes, and I think that's what excites me the most, is just having a really deep roster.
Yeah, I think we talked about the want for a deep roster last year. Now again, right, we brought some pieces in, and I don't think necessarily they were as deep or efficient on the depth of the team that we kind of were hoping for, maybe. So yeah, absolutely, I think this year we could see a change like that. There's of course a little concern I have of, like, will some guys get overshadowed? Mm-hmm. But again, it kind of brings in competition. Personally, right, like, if you look at the Final Four team even alone, right, we had a guy who was Sixth Man of the Year and then started starting, and then a few injuries happened, and then other guys stepped up, and then he was still kind of off the bench, and guys rotated, right? And like, that team, I think alone, was easily, you could say, seven deep that were in that rotation, right? Mm-hmm. And it was more, right? There were the bench guys play, because we don't have guys who play all 40 minutes, maybe Braden, because he's just Braden. But yeah, no, it's obviously going to be guys. And again, if you think about it, right, like, I think Ben Richardson's a great example from, I think, the Final Four team. It's like, he would easily come off the bench, mm-hmm. and that's just what it was in the season, and then drops an amazing game in the NCAA tournament. So it's like, there are times where not everyone's going to have a great day, and we'll need other guys to step up. So I think that's what I'll be looking forward to. Like you said, even guys like Ben, who had a great year last year, but definitely room for improvement. Guys maybe like Jaden Dawson, maybe finding minutes, or even Jalen Quinn, right? Jalen Quinn, crazy enough, had 3 turnovers in this game. And I'm like, okay, did we need to make those turnovers? Were they rushed? That was something I noticed in open practice, right? And that's something we're trying to get away from that we did last year, was a lot of turnovers. So there's a lot of room for it. I think the one thing I'll put on maybe the coaching staff will just be like, making sure they're trying to be smart mm-hmm. with minutes. I think one, a good example, and it's maybe a little different, Sheldon, they kind of admitted toward the end of the year they didn't use him mm-hmm. as much. I think, honestly, it should really be about the team winning and less about, like, oh, I need to get 25 minutes. It's like, hey, if it's better that, hey, we get a fresh person in for 5 minutes and then you come back in, like, I think that's what would be interesting to see, is if we get a more team-focused. There are some guys like Braden who probably want to not be taken off the court unless you drag him off. Mm-hmm. So I get that, but we will see. Again, I think the first 3 games are going to be interesting for sure. I think that momentum is going to be interesting, especially with FAU and then, of course, Eastern Illinois and the UIC, but how the rotations fit. And also, it's going to probably change with who we play and maybe if we're going up against bigger guys or a quicker team. So, no, but again, like you said, though, everyone got minutes. Even give a shout out, Will Smythe. Mm-hmm. Had an amazing move to the bucket. I don't think it could be summed up any other better way. Got the whole bench going. You'll love to see that. I will love to see if he could do that when the box score is not for an exhibition. I think he deserves that. But yeah, no, again, really cool to always see that. Kind of, we joked, right? Victory cigar, however you want to frame it. But it's always cool to see the walk-ons get that fame. So, and side note, Buck, mm-hmm. There's the crazy new addition, I think, to our roster. We didn't see the intros music or anything, but we will hopefully see that come soon. But yeah, that's the exhibition, Buck. I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to dive into?
No, I think I'm good. I'm bummed that I missed it, but definitely gonna be able to catch some games this year. So just happy to.
It was a working day for you.
Yeah, I was a little busy. I'm excited to be able to catch them the next time. I think I'm gonna be able to catch them the next time they're at home. I mean, they got a bunch of home games after their season opener, so I should be able to catch a few early on.
Absolutely, no. And again, the Ramblers won 104-44. Nothing, I think, really tricky there. Exhibition game. So, yeah, but really looking forward to it. I guess we'll just move on looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Is the first game of the season, really, that's it's going to count. My wife was asking, though. She was like, so do exhibitions not even count for anyone? Like, the points don't count? And no, sadly, no points count toward the season. That would be crazy if you just dropped like 80 points in a game and exhibition and that didn't count. But that's just how it works. But no, we play our first game of the year. I had to, I didn't do like a full like go back in a while, but I think this is the first time in a while that our first game of the year is not at home. I couldn't recall. I think we always try to get an opponent, classic opponent like Coppin State, to come all the way up to Chicago and play the home opener. But no, we play at Wintrust Arena. So again, what, 8 miles away at most from Gentile. We will be playing Florida Atlantic University, FAU. Kind of, would you call them Cinderellas from last year?
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say.
Yeah, they were the Cinderella, one of the Cinderella stories from the NCAA tournament. They ended up in the Final Four, and they're coming to Chicago to play us. Buck, first impression as we open up the season.
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes to mind, it reminds me so much of our Final Four team and then the year after our Final Four. I think they do return a little bit more than we returned after our run, but having them ranked, and they're a top 10 team, they're ranked number 10. I think we were ranked in the off season going into that next season, or if not, we definitely were receiving votes. But yeah, it just reminds me. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that next season, and yeah, like they should be good. I definitely think they're a good opponent. But it is just kind of, they got to prove it, right? I think that was what our team had to do that next year, too. And I don't think a lot of people believe that we'd be good again. So I think it's fair to have, like, criticism of this team. Like, are they really a top 10 team? Or are they just ranked because of the incredible run that they had the previous year? So yeah, they do return a decent amount of their roster, and some of their key players as well, including I think their top scorer Janelle Davis, one of their guards, and then let's see, Martin and Golden. So yeah, they do return some of their key players. They do have a 7-footer. Who I remember from the tournament, 7'1" center. So it'll be interesting to see how we guard him. But it's a great matchup. It is kind of weird, like you said, to not have a home game. But you know, Wintrust is just around the corner. It just won't have the Loyola logo in the center of the court. But hopefully there are enough fans and Loyola and Chicago people there to make it feel like a home game for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I do believe even I've been told the DePaul logo on the court had to be taken off for the game, which okay. Again, it's a tournament, a little tournament, but we only play one game. I believe there's is it Ole Miss after us?
Mm-hmm.
Or Mississippi, I forget. But yeah, no, I wholeheartedly understand the comment on them being ranked 10th. I do agree, right? We, as fans of Loyola, can attest to rankings coming off a huge NCAA tournament run and what that does. And again, right, our second game after that run in the new season was against Furman, and we lost. And we were on the top 10 of ESPN for some bad reasons. And if you don't remember, look up Loyola versus Furman, 2018, mm-hmm. Top 10. And talk to me later about it.
But please don't. No, actually, please don't talk to me. I don't want to think about it.
But no. I think we tried to mention this last year, but we will be using a lot as we talk about Florida Atlantic and any other team. We'll be using the Almanac as one of our main resources. It was a great resource last year, mm-hmm. and it's a great resource this year. But yeah, again, Dusty May, man. I kind of forgot he had been at FAU for a while, and of course. You had Tobin Grace from Fairleigh Dickinson that had the move. You thought Dusty May might move on, and I really did think this FAU team was going to kind of get broken up. But no, to your point, they did not really get broken up. I think their key departure was just a graduating senior. Mm-hmm. And again, they're sticking with that same team, right? So a team that only lost four times last year, and one of those times was in the Final Four. So really a three-loss team in the regular season. So what a season they had. I think, again, I don't think it was just a magical run at the tournament. They were almost undefeated the entire year, right? So in regular season play. So, yeah. Now, granted, I do think, to take a step back, their schedule wasn't as tough. Though, the one thing they did share with our Loyola Ramblers, they did beat Florida in their run to the Final Four. So maybe that if you beat Florida, you have a chance to go to the Final Four. I think we joked about that. But no, yeah. FAU is a team that I think are exciting. Again, they have the notoriety because they're in the top 10 right now standings. They have a pretty solid non-con, and they come to play us. So we're excited. I think, Buck, you already mentioned that 7'1". I don't know how much more taller you could be, but maybe if you play in the NBA for the Spurs. But 7'1" center is probably the biggest thing that stands out, maybe scares me, I'll admit, a little bit. Again, he did have it nearly 21 minutes per game, 10 points a game, and shooting at a 62% clip from field goal. So it's not a single three-point registered, though. So we don't, I think, have to be worried about that, which I hope not, and not in college basketball, at least. But yeah, I think that's the thing that maybe it gets a little nerve-wracking. Again, three of their starters or projected starters averaged double digits last year. So yeah, obviously this is a team that wants to win right out of the gate. I think that's the biggest thing. So yeah, I think for me, really, is just, it's going to be potentially the obvious speed bumps that could occur for FAU. They start off strong with us in the beginning. So, again, I think we're going to see a new team, but also maybe a team that's going to lean on some of the things they did last year because they were so successful. So I think their rotation is going to be the biggest thing for us to guard against. I think the 7-footer, obviously, Miles, if he starts, is going to have some trouble. I don't think Miles went up against much taller people than him in his Chicago league. Though when he went up against, I think it was it Xavier Booker, if I believe his name was, in his tournaments, he did pretty well. So I think even maybe taller or bigger opponents might not worry him. He is a lot more athletic than I realized from the exhibition as well, from the open practice. But yeah, I think, again, we're going up against an FAU team that also is well-seasoned. I think that's the one thing they have the upper hand on us personally, is that majority of the guys returning and playing have played with each other before, right? Mm-hmm. I mentioned three of our five starters in the exhibition had never even been at Loyola until this year, right? So that could be a thing to look forward to. But again, I don't think this FAU team is something to scare us from not competing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing. But Buck, do you see any, I don't know, any kryptonites on FAU? Or we mentioned already, maybe they're not really a true top 10 team. But what kind of makes them stand out up against us, you think?
I think one thing that we're going to have to make sure to focus in on is rebounding. They're a very good rebounding team from last year, a top 20 team in rebounding. So that's definitely one thing, especially with that 7-foot-1 guy. But it's not just him, right? It's like they're a team rebounding. Or they rebound as a team, so... definitely making sure we're hitting bodies and like not allowing offensive rebounds. Offensive rebound to a 7-foot-1 guy is going to probably most likely end up in a dunk, more likely than not. And then it's just going to, honestly, it's probably just going to be come down to playing great team defense. They obviously have a lot of scorers. They had 9 players last year that averaged over 5 points, or 8 players. So it's just going to come down to, we got to play a solid team game. That's how we've always won. It's never been one dude going out scoring 30. So being a deeper team, I think it's a lot of it's going to be matchup based too. We might see they were running some lineups last year in the tournament. I remember where it was 7 foot one guy and then four guards that were like 6 foot two, like all it was just four out, one in. So we might have to go small and play lineups with Miles or Dame and then Phil and maybe Brayden and two other guards, probably Greg and Dez or something like that. Like, I think we might see that, those sort of matchups a lot. This is a great matchup. This is a great test. One of the things that I've learned too, being a coach now, having this film is going to be so valuable for the team. Going up against a team that they know is good right out of the gate, they're going to be able to look at this game, dissect it, whether it's good or bad. There's going to be good things and bad things. So having that valuable tape to get better from too is going to be crucial for the games after FAU. But yeah, it should be fun.
No, I think you're absolutely mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think again, we, especially for Miles, for example, right? If going right up out of the gate, if he does the start, mm-hmm. A 7-footer is going to be very challenging, but also maybe a way to determine the possibility of what you might go up against, right? Some guys that like they'll play, will play and see that are big. St. Bonnie, the Bonnies have a big guy, mm-hmm. right? Can't think of his name right now, but that's something to look forward to. So there's just teams who are going to potentially present us with the option of going to be tough. And again, Creighton definitely has, and Ryan are going to present some guys who are going to be tough for sure. So yeah, I think the one thing that was interesting, if we're just jumping here on like maybe predictions, KenPom had us losing this game, but his result was 72-69. Nice. Yeah, I think that was an interesting one to see. Again, this is a possibility. Loyola's coming off also a skewed year of really poor ball handling, so I think that also doesn't help when looking at the numbers. But, Buck, I do think this will be a contested game. I definitely think this will be a game to watch. It's on our watch list. I believe the top 10 A-10 non-con games
yes.
of the year. Go head out and check that article if you on the A-10 talk. But yeah, I think it's a great game for us. Honestly, I do think it is. As long as FAU has a good year,
mm-hmm.
For sure. But I do think it being semi-home helps a lot. And then again, we get back into the string of things of home games. But no, I'm excited to get this out there. I do think it could benefit us no matter what the result is, to your point, right? And I think having this type of caliber competition sets us up even. We have a Creighton game to think about in under, I think we're under 3 weeks away. We're nearly 2 weeks away. So yeah, we got to start thinking about how can we prepare for certain things. And I think going up against a team like Florida Atlantic, who has that deep of a roster from the tournament, mm-hmm. is just going to help. So yeah, that's again my prediction. Honestly, if I'm going to give it, I'm actually kind of hoping for a low scoring affair. I am going to the game, so it's not going to be like fun to see. But I think if maybe Loyola plays the defense, I think they could potentially play. It could be a low scoring game, maybe like a 58, 55, kind of something like that. Who knows? With Miles, I think he can maybe be a rim protector, and then the guards. But who knows? Again, Florida Atlantic, I think, could be clipped. But I'm kind of interested to see if we start off a different type of tempo than we had last year, for sure. But, Buck, anything else to add or any prediction or any last-minute gut-checking when it comes to the start of the season?
I think you're right. I think that's where we want to play. Like, I think we're going to probably slow the game down, value the ball, value possessions, really play like high defensive pressure. And I think that's where our team wants to live, in the 50s and 60s, and make those possessions count. Just execute on offense. And I think that kind of game, I'm excited to get back to that kind of play style. Like, I just think that's Loyola basketball. And that's when we've been the most successful, and it should be a good game. I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Absolutely. Well, like we said, again, exhibition and this, two great things to talk about. But right now, again, as we record, we're a few days away from this game, about three, in fact. And we'll see how it goes. But again, Loyola, first game of the year, November 8th, opens up at technically away, but we're going to say Wintrust, semi-home, mm-hmm. Against Florida Atlantic, number 10 team in the country, according to the AP ranking. So, yeah, that's the season opener, not home opener. But speaking of home opener and any other games, we quickly just wanted to chat our own little gut check about what we think of the rest of the non-con schedule. Because, again, most of the episodes moving forward will be really just packed with game reviews and seeing how things went. But, yeah, Buck, I think we've highlighted a little bit. Again, the non-con in general, I think, was a way for us to find winning games. Mm-hmm. Our three games right after Florida Atlantic, according to KenPom, are all pretty much 250 or back in the rankings in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Again, we play three teams who are in the 300, or sorry, we play four teams who are 300 plus, and one team that's not even D1 or D2. I believe Goshen is NAIA, but regardless, honestly, I think it was just finding a way to win. We talked about it. We joked about it. Whoa, it's a winning streak. Losing a long stretch of games really just makes the mood not good, makes you question the team. I think this is set up to find winning games regardless, right? You need to understand how to win, and how to win helps you when it comes to conference play, because I've officially understood that this conference is different level and a lot can separate if you don't know how to find a way to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And I've heard different coaches talk about you really need to know your own team in terms of like how you build your schedule. And maybe that was something that Drew wasn't quite prepared for, because I think probably his first year, his schedule was, I got to imagine, 80% made up for him at least, right? With
that's a great point.
Contracts of other teams and stuff. So last year was probably the first time he had, maybe he had like 50% or more of his non-conference to build himself. And so this year, yeah, I would imagine that this year's schedule is completely him. And seeing that, how he did last year, I'm sure he heard it from some of the boosters of like lack of home games, it felt like, in the non-con. Or just that we were gone for like a long time. So I don't have any sources on that, but it does just kind of feel that way. And getting these home games, like, I mean, for the first 3 weeks of the season, they don't leave Chicago. And then they come back to, and they have, four or five home games, I guess, in the month of December. So, I think getting a good game right out the gate is awesome. You got three teams that should be beatable. Obviously to be seen if that's what happens. Then you get two very competitive games. One especially against Creighton, who's a top 25 team, and either Boston College or Colorado State, which both should be good matchups. Going in December. I mean, there's some more winnable games, a couple more good opponents, but. Just overall, I think I just like the build of the schedule. I just think it makes sense. Logistically, I think it's going to be a lot easier for them to get in a routine. Definitely easier for them to like get practices in at their normal time and that kind of thing. So I really like the structure of the schedule, and the opportunities to play some really competitive teams that will test them for A-10 play. And like you said, we figured out last year that it is just a very different overall competition level than the Missouri Valley Conference, even in a down year, as a lot of A-10 people told us last year. So
I think it's really interesting. I did do some quick digging. We had five home games in the non-con last year. We have eight right now, on it. Now, granted, last year we did have a few more neutrals, right? We had one more extra extra MTE game, and we had, again, the semi-away Stanford game, and then the neutral game with Clemson. So, yeah, we didn't have that many non-con home games. Granted, we only lost technically one of our non-con home games. That was against DePaul. Tough one there for sure. But yeah, that's a very interesting point you bring up. I think maybe some people were like, hey, can we get some home games? But yeah, we have 8 home games, not including the semi-home game. So that would be 9 of our 13 non-con games. So I think that's definitely a huge plus. And then, again, pretty much what we'll see, I think, is just, again, are getting back to maybe some things. And also things to prep us for A-10 games. I think you might see in some of the games ways we can practice for the A-10, especially if a team has, like, a really quick guard, similar to, say, hey, maybe how George Washington might play. I think we need to start thinking about the conference because the conference, to your point, right, if we all have great non-cons, the conference is going to be looking for, hey, okay, the top three, especially now with these new NIT rules, which we won't go into, but it's going to really matter how you plan your whole season. And I do really like your point. Like, Drew needed to plan this season of, like, hey, we need to maybe load up on wins or understand how to win and then be ready for fierce competition when it comes to the non-con and how we plan that out. So, no, really, really interesting. I think quickly, if I had to give a guess on my non-con, so, right, if we count it, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, plus the Colorado State or BC game, so 13. What do I think we go, Buck? What do I think? I'm going to have us winning one of the either Florida Atlantic or Creighton game. I'm just going to call that out. I think we have beaten Creighton before, even though we did lose recently to them in the NIT. Creighton did come to Loyola and play us. I believe it was fall of 2015. But, yeah, I think I'm going with, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think we could maybe go, I easily think, a solid 10 games. Mm-hmm. Maybe 9. I think we could. If we drop the Creighton game, I really hope we would pick up the Colorado State or Boston College game. Harvard should not be that hard this year. Many of you don't know, Chris Ledlam, who dominated us last year, is not on the team anymore. The South Florida game not being on a neutral site, I don't think should bother. But, yeah, I don't know. I think 10 is solid. Again, according to KenPom, he has us winning every single non-con game except for the Creighton and Florida Atlantic game. But who knows? We will absolutely see. I think it depends on also what type of Loyola. If Loyola turns the ball over like we did last year, I think that leaves open the door for almost any non-con team. But I definitely think we got something new brewing. So what do you got, Buck? What do you kind of feel? Quick gut check or reality check?
Yeah, I think FAU and Creighton are going to be tough. I'm not expecting to win either of them. I do think we can win one of them, if not both. But I'm not expecting to. I think the real big tell is going to be that game against Boston College or Colorado State. Being able to win on not your home court is going to be huge, like, just a lesson for this team. It's just a different mindset going into the game. And if we do win that game, I think we win our two road games as well, the at Tulsa, at Southern Florida. So I know that this is a big variability, but I think if we win that Boston College game, the only two games we'll drop are Creighton and FAU. So I'm going to go with 11. If we lose that Boston College, Colorado State game, I think we're also going to lose one of the other road games, and the third road game is going to be really tough. So I'm going either 11 or 9. I'll straddle your, like, you got 10. I'm going to get either 11 or 9. But
okay. So again, average out, find the mean. Back to me.
10.
Or median, whatever. Yeah.
But if you win at home, I mean, look, just winning at home, that's 9 wins. Like, that's not bad. Like, yeah, that means you don't win
any of your tougher games, but 9 wins going into the conference season is still not a bad amount, right? And still shows that we should be able to compete. And you know, hopefully some of those losses would be close games too, but I think even in that case scenario, it's still a good team, and it's just a matter of closing games and stuff like that. So yeah,
and then one thing to call out, just I found really interesting, just with the schedule, last year we played 31 games, which includes our loss in the A-10 tournament. Mm-hmm. This year, just in the whole season, we have scheduled 31 games.
Mm, okay.
So I think the Goshen game actually is almost maybe an extra game, I would kind of think.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somewhere for the team to just find a way to win, like we keep saying, right? Maybe we'll come up with, let's market ourselves, we'll come up with shirts that say, find a way to win. But yeah, so that was something interesting because I was like, oh, wow, feel like we're playing way more games, and it's like, no, we're playing the same amount of games that we do every year, which is around 30. Again, usually 18 conference games, and then 12 games non-con. But again, with the Goshen, we get that one extra. So yeah, no, I think will definitely be exciting to see. I like where your head's at, 11. I really do agree with you. That Boston College or Colorado State game could change momentum to another game, because again, look at how we did on our MTE last year. So, yeah, really important to again finish each game regardless of the result of the previous game. So I do think that turnaround will be interesting because lo and behold, we play Chicago State after that quick MTE. So I'm really hoping we don't drop anything too bad. We'll see though if Chicago State gets those 2 4-star recruits waved or not. That's I saw great. That in the news, but yeah, no, that's the little Ramblers non-con. Again, we talked about FAU, excited for that here in 3 days, excited about what's happening in Loyal Athletics alone, excited for what's going on here podcast 63 athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of us, again, I'm not coaching. I can't do that, but no, it's exciting. The year is upon us, and again, we'll be popping out episodes here on the reg, but no, excited to get back into the talking about this and looking forward to the start of the season.
One coaching note for me, for all my super fans who often find themselves yelling at the referees, I learned not the hardest way, because there is a worse result, but I did get yelled at by a referee at our last game for telling him how to do his job. So quick lesson for me, definitely not going to be doing that again because I can't afford to get my bench teed up. So, yeah, just thought that would be a funny little story. You do, in fact, have to pay the price when you are sitting on the bench versus sitting in the stands. So, yeah, learned that one real quick. But, yeah, yeah. Lou, any, what you got?
No, just like as a fan now, we don't want to be teeing up anyone. That, you know, you're making me think we gotta etiquette our fans, but who knows? No, I think that's a great point. Yeah, it always gets scary when you want to yell at refs, and then all of a sudden you're the one that cost your team a thing.
And then there's results.
But,
yeah.
No, but we'll hopefully we'll see different results like that come in the new season here. The way I like to end it here, KenPom has us with the lowest percentage we could win a game. The chances, right, are at 21%. So, and again, that's the Creighton game, but at least almost every game, we at least got more than a 25% chance to win. So personally, I think we got a good potential season upon us. And again, I definitely think a different direction than maybe how we finished things off last year. But again, excited, happy to see an exhibition game, happy to see things getting moving, and hopefully here we'll start off strong come here in a few days.
Yeah, enjoy this feeling, Rambler fans. It's a brand new season. Anything's possible. It's the year of the national championship. I'm just going to say that because then I can put that everywhere. no, it's fun times. Enjoy it for sure. And yeah, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in to Podcast 63. That's going to do it here from Buck and Lou. But always remember, never forget, go Blurs.